you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Wears Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Have you ever been to see something and it was beyond what you imagined? I mean, it was even greater than you were looking forward to. I've had a few experiences like that in life, but one of the most unforgettable was the Grand Canyon. I'd seen pictures, I'd seen video, and when I was helping a friend move to Southern California, driving his car out there, we decided we're going to go by the Grand Canyon. I was in college, I think, at the time. No, I was in high school. We went by. I've since been back with my wife, but we went by, and I'd never seen it before. And let me tell you, photographs and video didn't do it justice. I mean, there's no place like it. It's so enormous that words don't suffice. And if you haven't seen the Grand Canyon, I hope you get a chance to. I mean, it's just absolutely beyond what you can imagine. And I'm now in my 60s, and I've talked with a lot of people. I've never had anybody say, "Well, you know, I mean, that place is really overrated." You know, people told me I'd be amazed. Well, I was amazed at how unamazed I was. Yeah, I've never heard that from people. I've heard from person after person after person after person that the Grand Canyon was more spectacular than they had imagined. Okay? In this chapter of Revelation, we have a description of heaven. Heaven coming down to earth. And some people are troubled with, you know, are we really supposed to take this literally? Each gate was made of a single pearl. Where would you find an oyster that big? Let me just tell you, God invented oysters and pearls. If he wants a pearl big enough to be a gate for a huge city, not a problem for God. Let's look together at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, this is God's word. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death.' One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be about 1,400 miles in length, and as wide and high as it is long. He measured its wall. It was 200 feet thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Folks, all this month we are delighted to be able to offer a free CD, the Getty Kids Hymnal, In Christ Alone, if you become a new monthly donor. New monthly donors who agree to a minimum of only $10 a month are going to be thanked for your commitment to contribute by receiving that gift, and we would be delighted to send that to you. If you're a current monthly donor and you're saying, wait, I've been supporting the ranch, what about me? Well, current monthly donors of $10 or more can email info@wvr.org to receive your CD. The CDs are available for monthly donors during the month of April. I do need to tell you that because we're a 501c3 charitable organization, your gifts are tax deductible to the extent that they exceed the fair market value of goods that you receive from the ranch in return for your gift. The fair market value of the Getty Kids Hymnal is $10. So the first month, if you make a gift of $10 and you get a CD for $10, that $10 is not tax deductible. But you get the CD. The next month's gift is tax deductible, fully tax deductible, as is the month after that and the month after that. And we look forward to hearing from you. So if you have questions, you can always call us toll free. You can always go to our website. But again, $10 a month or more, and we'll send you a Getty Kids Hymnal, In Christ Alone. God bless you.
One church, one faith.
In this chapter, we're given a glimpse of heaven. Heaven on earth, literally. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." That's a good thing to remember about everything here. It's all going away. I'm going to build a monument to myself that will cause future generations. It's all going away. And here we see the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Something magnificent coming from there to here, except it won't be here as we've known here, because the old heaven and the old earth have been destroyed. Take a quick detour over to 2 Peter chapter 3, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3 describes for us what a lot of people overlook. He says, "You must understand that in the last days scoffers will come," verse 3, "scoffing and following their own evil desires." They'll say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. This passage in Revelation is entirely consistent with the rest of the New Testament and the promises in the Old Testament. Everything here as we know it is going to be destroyed by fire, and God is going to bring about a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to be grand. God is what he paints for us as a picture is this over-the-top thing. There's nothing subtle about it. It's a city made of pure gold. The streets are made of gold. If you go back a little bit in the book of Revelation, it describes the city of man, the diabolical evil, where the bodies and souls of men are underfoot, and gold is at the top. And God says, "No, you've got it all backwards. In my city, people are going to walk on gold." God turns it all around. He makes all things new. Heaven is going to be more wonderful than we can imagine. Nothing on this earth can compare to what God has for us in the new heavens and the new earth. But as this picture is given to us, there are several characteristics that I want us to see this morning. The first characteristic of the new heaven and the new earth is a loving, intimate relationship with God. Look again at the passage. "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." I would say that is a picture of an intimate, loving relationship. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them.'" That is a picture of a loving, intimate relationship. "They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Verse 4, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes." He doesn't just say, "Stop crying." How close do you have to be to somebody in order to wipe the tears away from their eyes? We're going to have that kind of closeness with God. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's also heaven. And I want you to see the last phrase describes something that a lot of us kind of look forward to when we're ill or we have a loved one who's ill and we're looking forward to heaven for them. It says, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Everything. Think about that. I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. It is not just the end of suffering and death. It is intimacy with God. It's not just that we won't cry anymore. It's that he's going to wipe away the tears from our eyes. The first characteristic of the new heavens and the new earth is this intimate, loving relationship with God. The second, however, is that it is only for the saved. The next thing we're told is that God, on the one hand, offers drink without cost to him who is thirsty. He'll give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And he who overcomes will inherit all this. And I'll be his God and he will be my son. Verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. How could anyone read the Bible and end up believing that everybody's going to heaven? There is only one answer. If they read the Bible, they had to not believe it. When God spoke this word to them, they said, no, I don't buy that. I just think that, you know, everybody needs to be included. If that's your attitude, calling God a liar, putting yourself on the throne, let me tell you right now, you will not be included. Because you can't call God a liar if you know him. And God says in his word that there's going to be a whole list of people who are not going to go into heaven. And you know what the only group within that list that gets special emphasis is? There's only one group. I mean, murderers? I mean, they'd get my vote. That's not who gets special emphasis. The cowardly, maybe? How about the vile? That's kind of an umbrella term. You know, that would include that one and that one for sure. The vile, is that it? Nope. Nope. Take a look at the list. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Wow. God is looking for purity. He's looking for holiness. He's looking for a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees. So how can a person possibly get into heaven? Well, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and he says, Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I mean, that's good news. Because you see, all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, find ourselves on that list of people who belong in the lake of fire. That's why it's so amazing. Absolutely amazing that God would take sinners and make us new. Not just forgive us, change us, transform us. He doesn't say, oh, I don't mind if you sin. He says, one who began a good work in you will carry it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. You're going to be changed from the inside out. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now alive in you. And you're not going to stay the way you were. I am not yet glorified, but I'm better than I was some years ago. God is in the process of changing us. Those who are in Christ Jesus not only have his righteousness imputed to our account so that we're not only forgiven, we're credited with his righteousness, but that is not all. He is changing us from the inside out. That is really good news. And so clearly, second characteristic in this passage is that heaven is only for the saved. Third characteristic is the beauty of the bride. In other words, not only is God glorious, but we are glorified. We are changed to be like him. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel. This city isn't just a physical cube. It's us. It is the people of God. We become beautiful for him. We are the bride of Christ. And we're told in Ephesians chapter 5 that that was God's plan all along. And that marriage between a husband and wife here on earth is supposed to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. And God's intention for us is that we would be spotless and blameless, absolutely beautiful, glorying in him and having his love focused on us. Wow. That's one of the things that makes heaven beautiful, is the people God has redeemed. And if you're in Christ, you're part of that picture. The fourth characteristic is that God himself is all we need. Well, I love it, you know, when you can step out of the shade into the sun and just enjoy, feel the warmth. Yeah, but we're not going to have a sun. The sun's not going to be needed anymore. Sun and the moon were temporary placeholders. When God created everything in Genesis chapter 1, he made things that reflected his glory. That's going to be gone because we'll have the real thing. I've said before in talking about other things, if I were to go out to dinner with my wife and sit across from her at a table in a restaurant somewhere for a nice romantic evening and just look at a photo of her. Beautiful. That would be just nuts, wouldn't it? It'd be crazy. What are you doing, you know? Oh, I'm just looking at you, babe. No. The picture, no matter how good the picture was, the picture is just a reminder of what's right before me. And when we're in heaven, we're not going to be saying, check it out, gold. Gold right there. We're going to be walking on gold and looking at God. Hallelujah. It is going to be so wonderful. More wonderful than we can imagine. No more need for the sun or the moon. No more night. In the words of an old hymn, the fourth verse that has spoken to me deeply ever since I was a kid. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. Folks, that is what we're looking forward to. It's the relationship with him. Complete. Consummated in glory. We will be like him and we will be with him forever. That's heaven. That's what it's about. It's about him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. You have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.